Good morning. Thank you so much for coming out here today. And I'm really excited to be back here in Ireland. It's been, I can't remember how many, three years since I've been here last, too long. And really looking forward to today and the opportunity to go super deep on the cloud and Azure. And hopefully we got a fun couple of hours ahead of us. So basically the format I'm going to use is lots and lots and lots of demos. More like 25, 30 demos over the next couple of hours, which I do all myself on three wonderful machines that will hopefully work fine. And we're going to cover kind of left to right all across Azure. So if you're brand new to Azure, great. We'll start off easy and we'll show off a bunch of kind of the high level stuff in terms of what you can use and some of those popular features. And if you're an experienced person in Azure, don't worry. We're going to show off a whole bunch of new stuff. And in the afternoon in particular, I'm going to be doing a tips and tricks talk that will go pretty deep in terms of some advanced tips and tricks that we recommend for people that really want to push the platform hard. And hopefully there'll be a little bit of something for everyone over the next couple hours. Quick show of hands, how many people here are doing cloud development today? It's about half people, great. How many people here are using Azure today? Same half people, okay, great. Cool, so we've got a good mix of audience, which makes it fun. And hopefully we'll have a good time. So we're gonna do about an hour and a half now, then we'll do a break. Then we'll do another hour and a half, then we'll break for lunch, then we'll do the tips and tricks. So we'll hopefully keep it moving, mix it up a little bit, and again, hopefully have some good times. So, I think right now, one of the things I'm super excited about is just, it's an amazing time to be a developer. When you think about all the different technology out there that's emerging, that's new, that's pretty cool, that really is not just sort of a different way to code or a different way to write applications, but really fundamentally new way to build new applications. I can't remember a more exciting time in the computer industry. Whether it's around IoT or biowearables or machine learning and AI, microservices and more. There's just so many new ideas and new concepts out there. And this is both really good in that it means that there is tons of opportunity for us to learn stuff new. At the same time, it's also, one of the things I hear when I do developer trips is it's also kind of overwhelming. There's so much stuff to learn. How do I not feel like I'm falling behind? And how do I actually be successful in actually doing the things that I want to actually do? And at the same time as the cloud is incredibly exciting for companies because it enables them to move faster, it also means that sometimes as developers, you feel even more pressure because your organizations are now depending on you to deliver even more. And then there's the constant concern in terms of, from a security perspective, how you make sure that everything that you're building stays secure, is secure, and you don't get hacked. And so, it's both exciting, and then, there's also these sort of types of challenges that are probably in the back of some of your minds. And what we're really trying to do with Azure is develop a cloud platform that really enables you to be successful using all these technologies. One that enables you to use the most cutting edge new technologies, but in a very approachable way. One that enables you to build secure apps that are highly compliant, that can be used to run all over the world and reach any industry. And one that really enables you to deliver results in an incredibly fast way. And what I'm going to try to do today is, throughout all the demos, is hopefully you'll see these three themes show up over and over again, and reflected in the product that we've actually built. And I'm a big believer in showing, not telling. And so we're going to try to demonstrate everything as opposed to spend too much time in PowerPoint anywhere throughout the deck. And with that, let's actually exit out of PowerPoint and go straight into a demo. And again, show, not tell in terms of what we mean by trying to guide your success. So a couple people, my mouse doesn't work. There we go, okay. One piece of paper here, if we could, just so that I can actually move my mouse on this shiny surface. Okay, perfect. So what I'm going to do here is I just dropped into the Azure Management Portal, which we're going to see over and over again throughout today. This is basically a web-based portal that you can use to manage all your Azure resources throughout. So about half the people in the room know Azure. You've probably seen this hopefully many, many times before. The other half haven't, so I'm just going to do a quick overview here in terms of some of the things that we provide as part of it. And so inside the management portal, you can create new resources. So if you click the new button here, We have lots of different types of resources inside Azure that we're drilling in throughout the day. So I can create new virtual machines, we'll create new databases, I can create new web apps, new container services, and use Docker and microservices, and much more. And so, easy way to go ahead and create stuff, and then once it's created, I can either go ahead and see things. That's very bright. Good morning. You can now see things in terms of the resources and drill into ones that you've created. Or the other thing that Azure lets you do is pin things onto a dashboard. So you can put your most common and popular things here. You can even customize the dashboard and rearrange it however you want. So you can kind of lay out the environment to kind of be more ideally suited to your particular workflow and situation. And then if you want to go ahead and manage any of these resources, just click it and this will load it up. Sometimes called a resource plate that shows you kind of the status of the resource, shows you metrics, and allows you to control and configure the settings around it. So in this case here, I've got a virtual machine. You can see quite a bit of details in terms of how it's performing. Let's go ahead and remote desktop into this virtual machine. Hit the connect button. It's going to load this little RDP file. And I'm now going to go to basically remote desktop into this, and now I'm on this virtual machine that's running in Azure. One cool thing you might probably haven't seen before, even if you're an existing Azure user, is this virtual machine is our new N-series of VMs. So in Azure, we have lots of different VM types, and they have different letters and names. The N-series is 3.5 terabytes of RAM and 120 compute cores of processing power. It's one of the largest VM types available anywhere in the cloud. So you can see these little things, these are the 120 different CPU cores running, again, 3.5 terabytes of RAM. And so the M-series has specifically been built with SAP workloads in mind, as an example, and it's certified by SAP to run HANA, run S4, and you know all those core systems, and you can take advantage of it, not just for SAP, but big databases and others. Cool thing about this M-series as well, just to kind of show off something cool for people in the audience that have used Azure for a while, is you'll notice, so I'm still in this virtual machine here, and you'll notice that I have the Hyper-V manager loaded inside this 3.5 terabyte VM running in the cloud. And this is something that's sort of maybe a little new if you're coming to either Azure or to a different cloud platform, in that you typically can't use a virtualization stack inside a VM running in the cloud. Instead, the cloud provider provides a virtualization stack for you. And one of the cool things that we now have in Azure is the ability to do what's called nested virtualization. And so I basically, as a customer, bought this 3.5 terabyte VM that I'm running by the minute. I can now run a virtualization stack inside the VM. And so what I'm doing now is actually double-clicking on a Windows Server VM that's running inside a VM inside of Azure. And just to have fun, I could actually recursively go down here and open up a VM inside a VM inside a VM inside Azure, and you can spend a whole couple hours just double-clicking down forever, sort of inception-like model in terms of how you do it. But that's also kind of a cool feature you can now take advantage of with Azure, and that's sort of unique to Azure. No other cloud platform currently delivers it. And you might ask yourself, why is that all interesting? Why would you want to have a VM inside a VM? A little bit later on, when we talk about microservices and containers, we're going to show off how you can basically take existing apps, containerize them, and then move them into a microservices world. And one of the cool features that we have now built into Windows Server 2016 is the ability to run containers in an isolated, virtualized environment. We call them Hyper-V containers. And so they're still lightweight containers, they're still Docker containers, but they're now isolated also from a CPU and memory and security perspective across that architecture. And this capability to run virtualization inside virtualization ends up being incredibly interesting in a container and microservices world, and something that we expect more and more people will want to be able to do in the future. And obviously, in addition to running a Windows Server inside this VM, I could also go ahead and launch this Linux VM, which is running, again, inside this 3.5 terabyte VM, and have them be completely side-by-side in the same environment. So we'll talk more about infrastructure and what you can do with it in a little bit, but just that's sort of a simple demo in terms of how you can go ahead and use our full HTML browser-based portal to manage things. So let's go ahead and do some other demos. So in the past, you always a lot of people typically always manage Azure simply through the browser and through our management portal. And we're doing a couple other cool things now that you can take advantage of to manage your resources as well. And so one of the things I'm going to do here is pair my iPhone. Don't type that code. Before I do at least. And so I basically have an iPhone here. And what I'm going to go ahead and do is, you'll notice this little Azure tile that's on it. This is our new mobile app experience, which is a native mobile app, runs on all different types of devices that I can use to manage my Azure resources. And so in addition to a browser, I can also now, in my pocket, basically pull up all of my different Azure resources for my particular accounts. I can favorite different ones, and I can basically drill in and get full management details about any of my app sites or resources through it as well. I can even restart it. I can go ahead and set up alerts and be notified anytime I see an issue or anytime any of my counters start looking a little wonky. And we'll even enable you to RDP in to your VMs or SSH into your VMs directly from your phone. So that if you're out Friday night at the pub and you want to just have some fun, you can SSH into your VMs and you can start going crazy with the cloud. I think we'll probably also add a feature which is you can turn on so you can't use it Friday night at the pub too, as an additional safeguard if you want to. Close this down. This thing is not Azure, this is a third party reflector tool. For some reason it doesn't want to die. Go away. Boom, there we go, okay. So in addition to having a browser-based view, in addition to having a mobile view, the other thing that we've been hard at work at this past year is really building up our command line scripting support and command line automation support. And so everything you can manage through a UI, you can also manage from the command line. And we have both PowerShell as well as Bash support for doing it. And one of the cool things we just added into the portal you can all now use is this little icon in the top right called Cloud Shell. And what this does is when you click it, it will automatically open up this little window down here and provides you a full Bash Shell experience directly in the browser that you can use to automate and run commands against the Azure environment. And this takes advantage of our new Azure CLI support. So if you type AZ, it's the name of our CLI command. This basically gives you a full command line interface for managing all your Azure resources. So if I wanted to see, for example, all my virtual machines in a particular subscription, since you can see, I can say AZ VM list, and this is going to go ahead and bring back in a JSON-based view all the settings for all the virtual machines that I currently have managed. So you can see, you know, very precise details there. We also have the ability, if you want to change the output format to be more of a human-readable table format, you can do that too. And because it's a full Unix-based environment, if I want to say to grep the results and just say, show me just only the SQL things, I can go ahead and do that as well and basically pipe and filter these commands in a really rich way, just like you'd expect in terms of any scripting environment. In addition to providing a Bash shell, and so this AZ tool works, it's built in Python, it works on a PC, it works on a Mac, it works in Linux, it fully integrates as part of any Bash environment. We also have PowerShell scripting, so you can basically use PowerShell to automate and script out any Azure resource as well. And in a few months in the summer, we'll basically have the same type of experience that we have with Bash. We can go ahead and launch a PowerShell window directly inside the browser as well. And again, be able to automate everything across your Azure environment in one simple way. And obviously, in addition to running it inside the browser, you can also just download these tools and run them locally on your machine itself. But this provides a nice way that you get everything set up. And if you just need to do a quick command or want to run a quick automation step, You can now do it without having to install anything on your machine. And we have documentation for all these types of commands. And so here you can see all the different commands that we have available for all the services. So if I want to look how to create a VM as an example, I can just go navigate to those docs. Here's the VM create syntax with a bunch of examples and detailed reference material on what each of those commands looks like. And so let me just copy and paste. Ireland. So this would be the simple command I could use to create a VM and deploy it. If I want to do that, paste it in this window, go. And as you see, in just a few seconds, this thing will complete. Azure's now creating for me the SkyView Ireland VM with the image that I specified up in Azure. And the cool thing again is everything I do through the CLI, everything I do through the GUI is represented in the CLI. Everything I do through the CLI, I have now in SkyView Ireland. Is now also represented in the GUI. And so that VM is now spinning up. It's setting up all the network rules and load balance rules. Again, I can now manage it through a GUI or the CLI, all in one integrated way. And last but not least, since this is a developer crowd for the most part, the other thing that we do have, which is kind of useful, is APIs that I can now use to program against Azure as well. So if you click on our SDK and tools section in the documentation of our website, we have a bunch of SDKs you can now install. And so this is the Azure Libraries for .NET. So we kind of walk through how to install them. And one of the things that's kind of cool now is in addition to using the UI, both browser and mobile, in addition to using the command line scripting, both Bash and PowerShell, you can also now just write C#, JavaScript, Python, Node, or Ruby code to be able to create and manage resources as well. And so this is basically how I can programmatically create a VM, in this case here a Windows one, using C#. You can see it's pretty tight syntax. It's just taking advantage of our new what we call Fluent APIs. So as you type this, you'll get full IntelliSense and compile time checking. And I'm creating a VM, again, in a particular region, setting up the network. And when I hit create, Azure will just go ahead and create all this. How many people here use Java? A few people. Great. It was a Java SDK as well. And so if you wanted to see how to install it, we've got, here's how to use Maven, here's how to use Ant, here's how to use all the popular Java frameworks. And this would be the equivalent code that I would write in Java in order to create a Linux VM with SSH enabled. And again, full IntelliSense, full compile time checking, and a really simple, nice syntax way that I can programmatically manipulate any of these resources as well. So easy ways you can manage all your resources in Azure in a variety of different ways, giving you kind of the flexibility to work with all these resources that we'll talk about today in a variety of different ways. And everything that we do inside Azure can be managed in each of these different experiences. And so you can choose which feels best for your particular development workflow. And again, if you create a resource in one, you can then manage it with the other. And so you have that flexibility to be UI, CLI, or API driven as you're using the entire cloud. So the other thing we do with Azure is really try to focus on not just sort of creating and managing resources, but also once you actually build something, how do you actually monitor it? How do you actually know what's going on with it? And how do we provide capabilities built into the product that help guide the runtime success of the solutions that you build? And so one of the things I just zoomed in here in the portal is built-in monitoring support. So you can kind of see, just to show you, I can pin any resources I want to be able to see kind of metrics of my VMs or my web apps, my container services up on the dashboard. We also let you create what's called an application map, where you can look at the interactions across multiple of the resources you create in Azure. So you can see here I have a server-side app that's making HTTP calls to a remote thing, it's talking to a database, and it's talking to another microservice. And I can actually see the health of each individual resource, but I can also see their interactions and the latency response times as they communicate. And I can set up alerts, so as you can see here, I get a lot of red. How do I actually figure out what's going wrong when something is misbehaving in the application? And so if I wanted to, I could drill in and look at the failed requests or the slow requests for any part of the service. So here, let's just go ahead and look at the failed requests. And then again, built into Azure, we have a bunch of monitoring views that you can leverage that will actually show you, here are the requests that are failing or are slow. I can drill in and actually get more details in terms of, is it always failing or no? It looks like there's spikes of failures that are happening periodically. Let me drill into one of those failures, and then we can provide a whole bunch of details about, you know, what specifically happened on this individual request at 1:46 a.m. today, including being able to drill down specifically into the exception error that occurred. And I can actually see this was the client that was hitting this application. They were in Illinois. This is the IP address. It looks like it was a PC. And I can see the full call stack information directly as part of the experience, so I can better understand what went wrong within the system. And then we're even doing things like the ability to create work items. So if you're using Visual Studio or Visual Studio Team Services, we can automatically create a new bug in the bug database with all the details about that request. So you can assign it to someone to follow up and actually investigate and fix it. And the beauty is all this stuff is sort of integrated. You don't have to use it, but going back to the how do we try to make people more successful, we're trying to stitch these experiences together so that you're not having to kind of come up with your entire own workflow from scratch every time you start a new project. The last but not least in this first demo, the thing I wanted to show was talking about security, which I know is top of mind for everyone these days, given that every app out there, there's someone trying to hack. How do you know as you're using all the new technology I'm going to show today that what you're building is secure and is going to ultimately be enduring in terms of capability? And so one of the things that we do inside Azure to help with that is we have something called the Security Center. And this is built in to the product. It's on there in the left navigation bar by default. And it's available, in fact, to use for free. So every Azure customer gets core prevention capabilities included just as part of their standard Azure subscription. And when I load this right now, what it's doing is basically looking at my overall Azure environment, and I have lots of VMs, so it's going to take a few seconds because it's scanning all of them. And it's basically looking to see, am I following the recommended best practices that Microsoft recommends as you're building cloud-based solutions. So I just opened up the VM suggestions here on the right, and one of the things you'll notice is it's basically said, hey, we've observed there's a bunch of best practices that you're not following in your cloud-based deployment. Here's what we recommend fixing in order to actually be more secure. So in this case here, you'll notice I created a bunch of VMs, but I didn't turn on, or maybe I turned off the endpoint protection that's on there by default. So I don't have any malware or any virus running inside those VMs. I have not patched a couple of those VMs. There's an OS patch that has come out. I've not applied it. In a few cases, I did apply it, but I forgot to reboot the VM. So maybe my script hung, or I accidentally removed that command. And so even though I think it's patched, because the OS hasn't rebooted, it's not fully patched. We're able to tell you that automatically as part of this. And you know, another one would be, I'm missing disk encryption. And so I'm not encrypting things at rest, which is another security best practice that we recommend. You know, similarly on the networking side, we can tell you, do you have ports open on the internet that you shouldn't have open? If you have lots of VMs that are networked together, do you potentially not have a subnet set up to isolate those particular VMs? Which is sort of a security best practice that we recommend, better be able to isolate your overall environment. So again, all these things are built-in rules that we scan across your actual environment, and where we can make recommendations on what you should do to be more secure by default. And all these rules are available for free, and we give to every Azure customer, and so we recommend, and I'll talk more in my tips and tricks talk in the afternoon. There's a couple other best practice analyzers that we now have built into the product. Again, can help guide you towards success and make sure that you don't have to be an expert in everything on day one in order to build secure solutions or build secure solutions that are reliable. Instead, we're trying to have the product kind of guide you towards that by default and really help you each step of the way. So that was kind of a quick overview in terms of just the overall Azure experience. We're obviously going to come back many, many more times and actually start showing off using real resources inside Azure. But hopefully that gives you kind of a little bit of a sense of what we're trying to do just from an experience perspective of Azure, in terms of pulling all the pieces together and giving you an environment that, again, helps set up for success. One cool thing is all these experiences work all over the world. And so one of the things that we've been hard at work at with Azure is building out our data center capacity to provide what we call regions where you can deploy and run solutions. And so we have a giant region right here in Dublin for Azure. I'll show a video that includes it in just a second. And so if you want to build solutions for the Irish market, you can do so and have an immense amount of capacity right here in Dublin that you can use to basically deliver solutions to Ireland. What's great about the cloud though is you can also build solutions outside that can run outside of Ireland, and where you can build solutions that can compete all over the world and grow your business at a global level. And so each of these white dots represents a separate data center region where you can deploy and run solutions. And we now have 40 of them around the world today. To put that in perspective, that's more regions than Amazon and Google combined. That's almost 2x the number of regions that Amazon and Google combined now have. And you know, we've got places like mainland China or places like South Africa, which we just announced last week, which are unique in that there's no other cloud provider out there that currently runs there. And it gives you kind of that ability to expand at a global level in a huge way. The other thing that is pretty amazing about some of these little dots is just how big they are. I like to joke, you can see them from space. What I thought I'd do is actually, just to prove that, show a video that gives you kind of a sense of some of the scale at which these things operate and the amount of capacity that you can take advantage of.
Scalability of Azure. We can handle the volume, we're like, bring it on, we want more.